This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Eldridge Haynes has been an entrepreneur, politician, and author. He's a Vietnam veteran. He's also been an advocate for the arts, education, wildlife conservation, and environmentalism. And he's just released his latest book, Justice by Another Name. He'll be in Cincinnati next Tuesday to discuss Justice by Another Name at the Mercantile Library, and he joins us this afternoon, and you can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, Reg. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks. Pleasure to be there. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I'd like to start by talking about your latest novel, Justice by Another Name. Can you give us an overview of what the book is about?
Well, the book is basically, hopefully, a good story. The genre would be murder mystery. It's an action, plot-driven book written in third person about a town in eastern North Carolina where it opens with a young boy being killed in a terrible accident. Whose father was also killed in an accident a year before, and suspicions by his mother that one of those was not an accident and the other was a almost intentional carelessness. And, you know, it goes through basically a story of maintaining power on behalf of a large agribusiness and what effect it has on the town and the people involved, and the desire of an outraged and grieving mother to get some justice for herself.
What else have you written, Reg?
This is my second novel. The first one was called Billy Bowater, and it was basically a coming-of-age story about a young man who was an attorney who had sort of grown tired and wasn't producing very well in his hometown, and went to Washington and became an administrative assistant to a senior senator from North Carolina who had has a striking resemblance to Senator Jesse Helms. And basically, it was the covers of a one-year period in his life during an election campaign, and is a period in which Billy is trying to find and establish some real permanent identity for himself in the face of some very difficult and challenging events during the campaign.
How long ago did you start writing? Because I know you've done more than novels. I think you've done some poetry and some other types of writing as well.
Probably 20 years. I was in business. That was my day job, and so I would write in the mornings early from like 5:30 to 7:30 and occasionally at night, but not usually. When I was freshest was in the morning, and took a lot of classes. I was a member of the North Carolina Writers Network and attended a number of conferences, and you have to do a lot of practicing before you can write a novel. The novel is sort of the symphony, but you got to do a lot of little duets and short programs before you can take something on. So I spent a lot of time doing essays and, a lot of short stories and shorter works and that.
So you're an author, you've been in the business world, you've been an advocate in your community for lots of different issues. You're a supporter of the arts, wildlife conservation, environmentalism. When you set out, did you expect that your life would have so much in it, that you'd have so much variety?
I don't know when you set out what you expect. I'd probably not, but I guess based on my background, my father was and grandfather were extremely interested in many subjects, and I think you sort of learn from where you came. So I got involved in politics fairly early because both my father and my grandfather and lots of uncles were all involved in politics as well as business, but they didn't let business consume their whole life. They were involved in lots of other things, because there are lots of other things that make where we live important. I mean, certainly that's been the case in Cincinnati, where your business leaders have also been great advocates for the arts and the opera, the symphony, and all the other tremendous things in Cincinnati. And, you know, it takes a lot of work from a lot of different kind of people. And I guess that was just my background.
Reg, what's
it? I ended up busier than I probably thought I would be a lot of times.
Unexpected.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it been like to be part of the Haynes family, especially growing up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina?
Well, you know, like I guess growing up in any city where your family has had a very prominent position, it ain't easy. One of the enjoyable parts, or one of the therapeutic parts of me writing my first novel, Billy Bowater, is writing it in the first person from Billy's perspective of growing up in a community where his father was a very prominent, one of the most prominent people in town, and his mother's family, one of the wealthiest landowners and so forth. His father then became Attorney General of North Carolina, and trying to meet expectations, is extraordinarily difficult. In my own family, my father was and grandfather were head of Haynes Hosiery and then Haynes Corporation, and another uncle was head of Wachovia Bank, and another was head of the Duke Medical School, and it just went on and on. And so, you know, you try to find some place for yourself, something that is unique, something that you can contribute that would stand out. And it's not a background that very many people have much sympathy for, but it has its own difficulties. As they say, it ain't a bed of roses sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were in the Army from 1967 until 1970 during the height of the Vietnam War.
Right.
I'm just wondering, how did that time in the military shape your life and your writing?
Well, I assure you it was different than 4 years at a boys' prep school in Duke University. I would say that was the most educational in a real-world sense, of anything that I'd ever done. I, of course, in 63, when I started college, had no idea that there would be, I knew there was a draft, but I assumed I would do graduate school and would sort of coast on through that. But as it got more and more obvious that the war was increasing, I had very few options. And when I graduated in 67, you either went into service or you left the country or you went to jail, or as a number of folks did, unfortunately, you basically had someone buy your way out of it. None of those options appealed to me, so I enlisted in what was called a college option program, which guaranteed me OCS, not to graduate or a commission, but I would have a place. So I did basic training along with everybody else that went into the service, and then advanced infantry training, and then officer school, 6 months in combat engineering. So I would say it was probably the most eye-opening experience of my life to that point, and I think one of the most valuable in forming a very naive young man into something a little bit more grounded.
So what do you like to do in your spare time? What are your hobbies?
I've got more hobbies than I have time. I'm a devoted fly fisherman and wing shooting. I'm not a big game hunter, and photographer. I've been a member of the American Orchid Society for a long time.
Orchids, okay.
Yeah. Skiing, scuba diving, it's pretty varied. Depends on the season.
I understand you gave up polo for golf.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, I'd rather hit the ball that was standing still. I love polo. I mean, it was it's one of the most exciting sports I think I've ever played, and I've played a lot of them. I did for all of high school and college. I played lacrosse and wrestled and played football and rugby, but nothing compares to polo. The speed of the animals and the danger of the sport is incredible. I mean, I dearly loved it, but it takes an enormous amount of time. And with children, you are going to do one or the other, or you can do both and do probably both of them poorly. So I finally gave it up.
And at least with golf, you don't have to worry about falling off of a horse. So
getting hit. And I mean, I probably had over 50 stitches taken in about a year and a half, a 2 year period.
Golf is much safer.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got about 30 seconds left here, Reg. I'm just wondering what advice you would have for people who are aspiring writers.
Sit down and write. I mean, it's like someone said, can you tell me how to get to Carnegie Hall? And say, sure, practice, practice, practice. If you're going to write, read books about it, go to some classes, and then you just have to sit down and do it. And like anything else, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of work.
Eldridge, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Pleasure. Thank you.
You can join Betsy and Paul Sittenfeld at the Mercantile Library for a literary afternoon with author Eldridge Haynes as he reads from and discusses his latest novel, Justice by Another Name. The luncheon event takes place March 21st from noon to 1:30, and you can find a link to more information about the event at wvxu.org.